You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
Because I'm happy. Last week we talked about the premise of the song that Pharrell Williams had put out there in regards to just being happy. Back in the day, some of us can recall there was a song by Bobby McFerrin that said, "Don't worry, be happy." And some 20 years later, we're still trying to find out how to be happy. So Pharrell had to update the song, and it's a great song, and it's a great dancing song. But you know what? We found that the aspect of our happiness and being happy and wanting to be happy and wanting to move into the realm of, hey, God, you are my God. And so everything, because I'm connected to you, everything now, everything is right. Everything is perfect. And I just should be walking around with a smile on my face. We found that's not true. And in that, finding that there is at times elements of unhappiness in our lives, we have found that unhappiness more times than not in the church, this is the word that we learned last week, it's ubiquitous. And what that means is it we find it appearing and it's found everywhere. Unhappiness, people not being happy with what's going on in life. And what we learned last week, insofar as the joy of the Lord being our strength, we learned that first and foremost, joy is not happiness. Joy is not happiness. We learned that happiness is an emotion. And there are times when we're going to be happy, and then there are times when we're not going to be happy. Amen? That's the reality of us. We have to say this in church. There are going to be times as a believer where you're going to be happy, and there are going to be times where you're not happy. Our problem and what we've found ourselves as believers, we are finding ourselves more times unhappy than happy. And we're finding ourselves more times unhappy than happy because of situations and circumstances. That's what moves our emotions. What happens to us, it causes us to smile some days and not smile some days, be angry some days. Situations and circumstances cause us to respond in our emotions. But how many of you know you're more than your emotions? I'm saying as a believer, you are more than your emotions. And so what is it that we need to actually be seeking after instead of happiness? We need to be seeking after the fruits of the Spirit, and one of those fruits, along with love, is joy. We learned a little bit about joy. This is not the all-encompassing definition of joy, but we did learn this. We learned that joy is a combative attitude. It's a combative attitude. It's a posture. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a posture that we take when circumstances hit, because they do hit. And many times those circumstances make us unhappy, but then God says, but now tap into something that goes deeper than just your happiness. Tap into not your joy, but my joy. For the joy of the Lord is what I need strength for. I need strength because sometimes circumstances and situations that happen is really, it's not my fault. Hello? Certain things that happen, I'm a believer, I've been praying, I've been doing what God has called me to do, but yet there are things that turn around and they happen, and it makes me unhappy, it brings me down, there's sorrow in it, and I feel like many times God has abandoned me, but God, he's wanting us to mature. Can you say mature? Can somebody say mature? God is wanting us to grow up a little bit. Amen. And so what the process of growing up for us is this now making applicable these fruits that he has given us and saying the only way that you're going to learn how to manifest joy is to be faced with circumstances and go beyond your flesh, which is your emotions and being unhappy, and get down into the fruit that's supposed to be produced, and that's joy. Yes. Joy is a combative attitude. And it only manifests when there's drama. Y'all didn't catch that. See, we think that joy manifests when everything is going on right. No. The fruit of the Spirit manifests, and how God does this thing is when you need more love, he puts more unlovely people around you. When you need joy, he allows for situations and circumstances not to be so happy so that you would manifest joy. When you need peace, What God does is he allows things to happen that mess with your peacefulness. Why? Because he is looking for you and I to mature in our faith. Listen. We have matured. We are real grown up when it comes to this flesh. I'm talking and y'all not hearing me, huh? We're real grown up when it comes to this flesh and how we respond and how we react and the things that when things happen, we know what we can do. We know what we can. Nobody need to tell me that if you say something crazy to me, that I have a number of ways to get back at you. Hello. That if you do me a particular way, I have matured to a level where I can get at you and you won't even know I'm getting at you. Come on now. And the reality of it is in our flesh, it's practiced. The Lord would say that there's a duality to your life. Now that you've practiced the flesh, which doesn't lead to anything but destruction, let's now begin to practice what is in the spirit that's eternal. And that's going to leave a legacy. That's going to leave a mark that people would know, not just that you are a mature Christian, but that I am God. Hello, that I am God. See, too many of our responses in regards to what's going on in life, we want to change for us. But God says the reason why you are here is to manifest glory on my behalf. Little child got it. Well, y'all wake up. She's like, But today I want to, you know, and we're saying, and I've said all these things, joy in its definition, it's part of the root word is kara or charis, and it means joy, it means delight, it means gladness, but it also means extended favor. It means to an affinity towards or favorably disposed, this joy that God gives. Favorably exposed to it. It means this. Watch this. It means joy is grace recognized. So listen, when things are getting hard, and God says, now you need to manifest joy, and I'm tapping into the manifestation of joy. What I'm saying to myself, and James says this, count it all joy when you what? Find yourself, I'm paraphrasing, yourselves in various trials and tribulations. Count it all joy. In other words, count it to your credit. Exercise this favor. Favor, Lord? When I'm going through what I'm going through? Favor? Unmerited? That means I didn't earn it? That this drama that I'm going through, you say that my mindset, remember, joy is a combative attitude. My mindset needs to say joy. God is doing something here. So that means, as I said last week, and we contended with this in the spirit, and the Lord came and he did his thing, that depression no longer has place in our lives. In any spirit, we understand that depression is not the spirit, but fear is the spirit. That when I'm dealing with things that are weighing me down, is because I'm not transferring into the joy of the Lord, but I'm trying to find it for myself. And we learn that our behavior, the manifestation of keeping us locked in, is one of the things is that we deal with our pride. Loneliness, fear, and our pride. I got this. I can do this. I'll figure this out. They're not going to keep me unhappy. And all the while I'm trying to figure out a way to be happy, I'm becoming more and more unhappy. Those people disrespected me. They dishonored me in the church. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to another church. And guess what? You go to another church and there's not one of them there, but there's five of them there. And God might be trying to tell you something. Might be trying to tell me something. We have a number of key scriptures that I want to get into. Are we good here on this mic? Can y'all hear me? Okay, I'm having some challenges here myself. But John chapter 15, we're going to start there. I want y'all to just mark that because we're gonna pull from there. But I want to give y'all a couple of scriptures and we're going to move forward. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24 says this, not that we lord it over your faith, but our work is with you for your joy, for in your faith you are standing firm. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we are workers with you for your joy, for in your faith you are standing firm. So I want to just establish the thought here that when we're working this fruit of the Spirit of joy, what we're really working in the overall platform is our faith, that we're declaring that what we don't see in regards to our lives, God, he manifests. He's going to deal with it. We said this last week that when we are faced with adverse situations and circumstances, what we're saying is the joy of the Lord is my strength, and this thing now has to contend not with me, but with God. And how many of y'all know that anytime anything has to contend with God, there's going to be a problem? And not with me. That thing or that spirit is going to have to contend with God. And when we're talking about joy, the thing that takes and steals our joy is the spirit of fear. Scripture says, God has not given us a spirit of, but of power, love, and a, praise God. We say it and we say it and we say it, but God is saying, now live it. Live it. Because the circumstances that you're dealing with and the things that you're faced with that have you not happy, emotional response to the circumstance, I'm saying that you can walk in all joy, in the fullness of joy, when you turn this thing into what it's supposed to be, a challenge for me. Y'all didn't catch that. Turn it into a challenge for God. God, I can't do anything about this, but I'm going to leave it to you. Cast all your care on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Okay, well, if I cast it on him, this thing that's been bothering me, if I give it to him, if I cast it on him, who does it belong to now? It's now his challenge. Now, let's do the math for a little bit. I wasn't that great at math, but I like this math. Problem? I can't deal with you. I can't handle you. God says for me to give you over to him. God, who can't be stopped, who can't be altered or changed, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who makes sure that we stay 93 million miles away from the sun so that we don't burn up or freeze. God, who spoke light and he said, let it be, and it was, that this situation that I'm faced with, situation, you got to deal with him. Those of you who watch What's Happening back in the day, y'all understand that laugh. There's joy. There's strength in that. Situation, you got to deal with God. You have become his problem. And how many of you know, math, God don't have no problems. Problem plus God equals no problem. Write that down. Write it down. That was good. I just came up with that. That wasn't even in the notes. Problem, say it with me. Problem plus God equals no problem. Now, I want to share something with you. It's no problem with God. The moment that you cast it on him, it's not a problem. Guess what? It's already dealt with. It's in the infinite power that God has. Many times we translate God moving as there's a waiting period for him to do what we need him to do. God has already dealt with it. The scripture tells us that he knows our end from our beginning. So for him, whatever we're encountering, it is already a done deal because he's already at the end and looking at us and saying, but I already took care of that. So what we're dealing with and what we're doing is we're playing, if you will, catch up to the manifestation of what already's been done. This is faith talk. I know y'all looking at me crazy, but this is why we need to be in his word. Because we've matured in the things of our flesh. And we know that in our flesh, we started someplace and here we are now. And we can't really see what's going to be. But God has started from our end. And he's already laid out the purpose and plans that he has for us. Even with all the variables of decisions and thoughts that you make, he's big enough to know all of the nuances of your dumb and my dumb decisions and saying, I've worked a way to get you back anyway. See, that's I know it's conceptually that's hard to grasp, but that's God. And this is where God wants us, he wants us to move into the realm of the impossible. Scripture says, Jesus speaking to his disciples about the cursing of the fig tree. With men, it's impossible. But with God, and then you know what we do? We ask, how? How? Because we usually do that. How? Because this happened and that happened and this happened and that happened. And then he did this and then she did this and then they did this. And God, how? And God don't answer how. And then we get unhappy. And God is not asking you to be concerned with the how. He wants you and I to get to a place where we're concerned with the who. If God be for you, who? Man, y'all know the word. But he wants us to walk in it. So I say all that to say, because you know, it's we're hearing it. But how many, you know, how do I really do this? Anybody? How do I really do this in the circumstances that I'm faced with right now? How do I really make this joy manifest in my life? John chapter 15. I'm gonna give you this as a starting point. Verse 11 in the Amplified. Can we bring that up? John chapter 15. Verse 11 in the Amplified. We're actually going to stay in John 15, and then we're going to land there, and then we're going to leave there with the how. How do we really do this? How do, with the circumstances that I'm faced with, how do I do this? Jesus says this, 15, verse 11, please. Yes, sir. But that's good there, too. You know, he is divine. Verse 11 says this, a continual thought in the Amplified. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be what? In you. Are y'all reading? All right. And that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. You got to add a blessing to the reading of his word. Okay, so God, I'm not there yet. In fact, I have been dealing more in my emotions, not been happy with the way things have been going. I've not been happy with the way people been treating me. I've not been happy with, even for those that are in the church, you know, that when I read about how people should behave, I found that people who hear that and Lord Jesus, they've even found themselves acting like they got this thing, but yet I know how they've been treating me ain't been good. Boy, it's quiet in here now. I've come to a place where, God, if you're talking about this joy that is yours, your joy, which is to be my strength, that as I'm trying to exercise and bear this fruit that you call me to bear, that these people are making it impossible for me to be successful in this. And the Lord would say to you and I, it's because you have assumed that your joy is going to be based upon a change in circumstance. Your joy, which is in me, is not going to be based on a change in the circumstance. It's going to be based on a change in you. And our problem is, we don't want to change. Let's be honest. Look at your neighbor, and then look away. Do it right now. Look at him and just look away. We don't want to change. If we're honest with ourselves, in those times when things get hard, we don't want to change. And if we don't want to change, then we can't bear fruit. If we don't want to change, we cannot bear fruit. Now let's dig a little bit in John 15 for a minute. We know that, and Pastor Fred put it up inadvertently, Jesus speaking about him being the true vine, his father being the vine dresser. And every branch in him that does not bear fruit, he takes away, meaning the Father. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. I'm just reading. Yeah, you can follow along until we get to where the Lord says to go. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. No thing. I'm saying in Spanish, nothing. And no. I said in Spanish, nothing in Spanish. Y'all just missed the joke. It just, Jesus help them. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, I want y'all to catch this for a minute, because a lot of times when we look at this scripture, we assume he's talking about hell. But he's talking about the condition of us as believers, that you become useless. And so you're cast back, or you're left to that circumstance, that situation that eventually will consume you. Amen. If you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. And I'm going to stop right there, the foundation of scripture being verse 11. But all of that, therein lies how we actually get, keep, maintain the joy of the Lord in our situation and our circumstance, understanding that I'm not there and I'm not looking for God to change per se the situation or circumstance, but I'm looking for him to change me. Did you notice that the aspect of everything that Jesus speaks about deals with a couple of things that are lined up here? First, he speaks about this aspect of bearing fruit. So if I'm going to be manifesting all of the fruits of the Spirit, and now today we're talking about the joy that's in us, the joy of the Lord. If I'm going to manifest this, the first thing that I have to have in mind is, how am I going to bear fruit in this situation? Hello? See, look, we as believers, we walk around talking about we believers, but he says here clearly, speaking to his disciples, that if you're really going to be recognized as my disciple, you're supposed to be bearing fruit. So when you're dealing with situations, circumstances, your focus is it's really a distraction, because we've already established that problem plus God equals hello. So if there's not a problem, then what is it that I'm looking at? What is it that I'm really dealing with here? I'm dealing with an opportunity to bear fruit. I'm looking at an opportunity for God to be glorified. I'm looking for an opportunity to absorb more of God's word in my life. Why? Because this circumstance keeps getting my attention, and I have to continue to, by faith, because I don't see it gone, although it is. And we already know, scripture says, faith is the substance, Hebrews 11, of things, the evidence. It's the proof of things that we don't see yet. So problem plus God equals no problem, even though it's still there. It's not there. By faith, it's not there. But I have to have something to replace the thing that is there but not there. And God says, replace it with the opportunity to bear some fruit. Is this too much? Is this too much? See, what it is that we've got ourselves off track in regards to why we are here as believers. We think we're here to have God solve all of our problems and float. What do you mean float? I mean that we're supposed to be happy. All the time happy. All the time happy. All the time happy. Stop it! I'm not happy all the time, but all the time I can have some joy. All the time I'm supposed to manifest love. All the time I should be working on patience and peace and gentleness. Any time that circumstances are coming, and they're going to come. They're gonna manifest in many, as there is much of a variety of us peoples in here, situations, circumstances, problems are going to come. Sometimes due to your ignorance, sometimes due to your actions, sometimes due to just life happening. I mean, you know, life just happens sometimes. Anybody ever just have things happen to your car? It just happens. And you go out, you prayed up. I mean, you've done your morning devotion. You've done that. And you go out and all four of your tires are gone. See, maybe that's not your experience, but somebody has had that happen. And at that moment, you have a choice. I have a choice. And many times, my choice has not been the right choice. Why? Because immediately, the flesh, it wakes up. What the heaven? We're practicing. You got to start somewhere, right? You got to start somewhere. Life happens. Things happen. Sicknesses. Things that, you know, hey, we know that we are healed by the stripes of Jesus. But things happen where we find ourselves under the weather. And then church folk make us feel guilty because we sick. Well, you ain't been praying hard enough, and you ain't been quoting that scripture loud enough. Say it louder. Say it louder. Some of us young in the faith was like, would you scaring me? No. Yes, the word of God is true, but we have to mature into the word and get it into us so that it changes us. So, you know, circumstances happening. Then God gives us wisdom. He says in James, if you have need of any, ask wisdom. Okay, God, they took all four of my tires. What do I do? Okay, God, this fool just done disrespected and dishonored this entire marriage relationship. What do I do? Do I kill him now or kill him later? Okay, no, that's not. That's not. Okay. Help me, Jesus. Help me. I'm saying we're going to have real conversation with the Lord because we got real situations that are happening. Okay, here's this unexpected bill or expense that has just happened. The water tank just blew up out of my house. I mean, am I talking to anybody in here? And what we have done in our responses have been in the flesh, and it has made us, and it didn't do anything to help us, but we responded in the flesh, and it's made us unhappy. And in that unhappiness, then we've transferred that unhappiness to, well, God, what are you doing? Don't you see me? Anybody? God, Lord, and this is why we say it's not about the circumstance, because many of us, we get to a place where we're like, Lord, I stopped smoking. I stopped drinking. I stopped cheating. I stopped cursing. I stopped doing these things. And God says, but I see your heart. See your heart. And while you practice those things and you feel like the evidence of what can be seen is good enough, I'm saying to you, I want you to mature beyond the circumstance. I want you to mature to a place where nothing moves you. You get to a place where you're content when you don't have much, or if anything, or when you've had a lot, that you're not moved by circumstance. That the circumstance is not what dictates who you are and what you have. That's where God is wanting us to. There's many of us experiencing these things, and it's like it seems like we keep hitting this brick wall. God, when is manifest and breakthrough going to come? And he says, when you let me get into your heart where I belong. I'm not talking to you like I've arrived. I'm working just like you. But the issue is, as Brother Shannon said, as he gives the word, we have to be in a position where we can receive it. And as well, take it and say, I'm going to use this thing. When y'all get to a place where y'all bless me with that Corvette that I've been wishing for, guess what? I'm going to take it and I'm going to receive it and I'm going to use it. Right? I mean, think about that. Anything, if somebody gives you something that you need or you want, you don't sit it and shelve it. I'm going to use this. And God is saying, this word, you need this word. It's the best thing that you could ever have to deal with the things pertaining to life. But you got to receive it. And you got to use it. You got to use it like it's there for what its purpose to do. Selah, I just need y'all to just think about that for a minute. Verse 15, excuse me, where do I want to start, Lord? Verse 7, verse 4, I'm sorry. John 15, verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. So let's just call it what it is, and you take this down in your notes, because there's a sequence here. The first thing that you and I want to do is we want to abide, live with, take up residency in what God gives us as far as his word. I'm not talking being religious. I'm just saying that if God has given us his word to help us to deal while we are in the midst of circumstance, abiding in him and him abiding in us, and without him, we can't bear the fruit of joy, then I need him because I need joy right now. I need love right now. I need peace right now. I need patience right now. I need gentleness right now. While I could throttle this person, I got to be nicer. And I can't do it in and of myself, because that which is in me and my flesh is always going to tell me, smack them now, smack them. He's demanding dinner. Oh, I'm going to give him dinner. Here's dinner. Frozen pork chops, frozen peas, rice that's not cooked. There's dinner. And if you don't do that, you lay it on the table and you walk away. That's not it. That's not it. Your flesh will never do what God wants you to do. Your flesh will never submit to. And even for you, many of you sitting here right now, your flesh has got you thinking about and occupied with other things. But please believe me, when situations and circumstances hit, you're not going to need that video game that you're playing. You're not going to need the Facebook. Facebook ain't going to help you. Them people on Facebook are crazy. And they lie. Oh my God, they lie. Okay. But please use Facebook for the proper thing that it's used for. You can't abide in Facebook. You've got to abide in God. You got to abide. You got to take up as much time as you might find yourself spending on that. You got to find your time spending in his word to figure out how I change me. The circumstance and situation is going to happen. And they change. Sometimes it gets better. Sometimes it gets a little worse. But God says, no matter what it's doing, you don't change. You don't change who you are in me. You don't change your spirit, which is empowered to be able to handle every situation upon every circumstance, because I've already handled it. That's why we pray. Prayer is not this ritualistic thing. This is you talking to God. God, help me. Anybody ever get to that point where you just ain't, I don't even have the words. Help me. Abide in me and I in you, because the branch, which we are, cannot bear fruit of itself. And I'm in this situation. I don't know what's going on. It's not a good situation, but God wants me to bear fruit. Here's an opportunity to bear some fruit. Are y'all with me? I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. So God then begins to make it very simple. Now that I turn my mindset off of the thing, circumstance, situation, into how do I bear fruit, then God says, great, now your thinking is right. Now we can work on the manifestation of what it is that I wanted you to do in this situation, which was to bear fruit. You will, because now you're in me. You will, because now you found me. You will, because now you're giving yourself and the time of your spirit with me, so I can show you some things about you to change your thinking. Remember, joy is a combative attitude. It's a mindset change that you have. I'm thinking a particular way about this thing, and I'm actually enjoying the way I think. I'm unhappy. I want to smack some things around. I'm happy with that thought. I'm not happy with the circumstance because it doesn't change, but I'm happy being this way. It's my I finally manifest some kind of control. I finally been able to have some kind of control of this thing. And if it's just me being mean, then I'm going to be mean. You can't do nothing about it. And it don't change the situation. It just makes it worse. It's counterproductive to what God says he wants to have happen. And the longer you stay in that condition, the worse the situation gets. Why? Because God has empowered you and I to declare what's going to happen in terms of the atmosphere around us. He's given us the power that when I walk into a place, he walks into a place. And if that place is not conducive to what he wants, he has empowered me to say some things about that place. So what Brother Shannon's trying to get us to understand this morning, that the atmosphere of prayer, you can't just come up in here and sing praise song and feel good. Y'all know that don't work. You've done it already. Come up in here and talking about how much you love God and how much he loves you and not believing a word that you're saying. But when your spirit is changed and you come into this place and you may not be feeling the happiest, but you're saying, God, this is an opportunity to bear some fruit in my life. Then you change the atmosphere. And as the brother was saying, it didn't, when corporately, when we all come in here with the same mindset, watch out, because we get God's attention. We get his attention, and he sees us for who we are. And he says that not only do I see you, and I'm in you, and now you're bearing the fruit, what I have to do now, watch this, what I have to do now is eliminate all distractions. I didn't say put it aside. I said I have to eliminate. What happened with that tree? Jesus saw that it had no fruit on it. And he spoke and declared. We say he cursed it, but he spoke and he declared, because you didn't have what you were supposed to produce, you're never going to do that. Immediately, it didn't look like it, but immediately, the situation for that tree changed. No longer was it just going to look the part. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying to y'all right now, but no longer are we going to just look the part of believers, but God is saying, I need you to get to a place where you're bearing fruit, because I want to eliminate anything and everything that doesn't look like me in your life. And I'm going to eliminate it. In fact, I've already eliminated it. You just don't see it yet. Glory to God. All right. Too much? All right. I'm coming in for a landing. So we are to look at bearing fruit. It's an opportunity. We are to abide. And then he says, abide again. Because if you don't, you're not worth. And hear what I'm saying, so y'all don't take this out of context. But I've created you in purpose. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I created you in purpose. There's something that you're supposed to be doing. And the longer you linger with dealing with this circumstance and situation and you being unhappy, the longer you are delaying what it is that you actually are supposed to be doing here. And I don't know God's time clock. I don't know, because he's out of time. He doesn't exist in time. But the issue is we do. And in our purpose, there's a time in which we need to get things done. And when God opens up a door for us to walk through, even in the midst of a circumstance, you need to walk through it. You need to stop delaying and stop playing, because eventually you'll miss what he has for you. And if you keep missing what he has for you, you open yourself up for the enemy to say, well, since you ain't doing what God wants you to do, I might as well do what I do. John 10:10. What does the enemy do? Steal, kill, and destroy. You're not going to do what God told you to do. I'm going to do what God told me to do. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying, and we playing with this, but this is a real situation. It gets worse and worse, not because God has abandoned you, but because you've opened yourself up for another person who has an assignment against you to do what he's been doing for centuries. And he's good at it. You know what's sad, and I'm going to move to my next point. What's sad is that the enemy is more obedient in his assignment than we are in ours. I might need to write that down so y'all can remind me. The enemy is more obedient in his assignment than we are in ours. And we got to change that. All right. So abide. Bear fruit, abide. Bear fruit because you need to. We don't want to find ourselves in a position where God is saying you've missed your opportunity and you continue to miss. We don't want that to happen. If you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So I've got bearing fruit, abiding, bearing fruit so that I don't miss the task, abiding in him, and then obeying and following God's instructions, and then asking him things. Asking him for things. Obeying what he says by his word. Abiding in his word. His instruction. What does he want me to do? What does he want me to do with what's going on here? How does he want me to handle it? And God provides many different avenues for you to receive his word. But many times we allow our busyness of our lives and the things that we want to do to relax and to have fun to interfere with the opportunities for Bible study and group and all of the other things. We don't invest in ourselves because we're too busy trying to be happy. Listen to me. I understand I need some downtime. I get it. But that downtime is not helping us move past the situation and the circumstances. That's killing us. Love football. Love basketball. But I need the word more. And people have their priorities. You know, oh, the Cowboys are playing. Listen to me. The Cowboys aren't going anywhere, y'all. I like the Cowboys, but right now, they can't help me. They are not even making me happy. Obey his word. Abide in me and my words abide in you. In order for the word to get in you, you got to be in a place where you're receiving. You're hearing and you're receiving. You're hearing and you're receiving. You're hearing and you're receiving. If you're preoccupied with these extra things, I'm not saying that those things are bad, but they're not helping. I'm not saying for you to have to make a decision based upon what makes you feel good. Sometimes it's a sacrifice to go out and to get the word. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. Sometimes you have to push yourself. But that's just you dealing with your flesh and you maturing and recognizing situation got to change if I get God involved in the equation. And you're honest enough to know that I got to get God involved in this equation because problem plus God equals get his word. Bear fruit, abide. Bear fruit, abide. Obey, ask. If you ask him for anything, he said, it shall be done for you. You abide in him. You will ask him what you desire, and it will be done for you. Many of us, you know, we take the scripture out of the context of I'm asking for stuff. God is not interested in getting you stuff. You can get stuff. God will bless you with stuff. But what he's talking about this asking is helping me to mature. Helping me not to be so angry. Helping me not to be so mean. Helping me not to be, Lord, and he will give it to you. Help me to be more clear and level-minded and not, when I hear what she's saying, that I'm not taking it as a negative or when you know, all of the things that I actually need, he's saying, it will be done for you. Why? Because I'm abiding in him and abiding in his word. And the word will come up and it will remind me, don't act like that. You're better than that. Don't say those things. You're better than that. Don't do things unlovely. That's not who you really are. Hello? Bear fruit, abide. Bear fruit, abide. Obey, ask. Bear fruit. If you keep my commandments, verse 10, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain. Did y'all catch that? That my joy may remain. So in other words, as a child of God, we've already been given the seed of his spirit to have this thing called joy. But if it's going to remain, we got to abide. Bear fruit. We got to abide. Bear fruit. We got to abide. Obey. We got to abide and ask. We got to abide and walk in love. For it to remain and for it to be full. In other words, come to that place of completion in my life to where now it's not an issue. Situations, I'm smart enough, I'm wise enough to know that as long as I live life, things are going to happen. But as a child of God who walks in the maturity of him, I've figured out what Jesus said I can do to have it. He says I have it. It's there. It's manifest. It's spoken. I know what God can do, but God says, but this is what you can do. This is what you ought to do. Recognized as my disciple, one who follows me, I've given you how joy will remain. You and I, we have to make a choice. We have to come to a place of decision and being honest, because at the end of the day, it's either do it the way God intends for us to do it or keep doing it your way. Doing it the way that you figure. Doing it the way that you have satisfied yourself in terms of you being in control of this thing. All the while knowing that you really are not in control, which is why you're unhappy. And which is why you feel stuck. You want people around you to recognize, I'm not having it, I'm not this, and I'm not that. And nobody cares about you and your attitude. I mean, at the end of the day, honestly, you can be mad, you can be disgruntled, you can be, and what you find and what the enemy wants is for you to finally be caught out there by yourself. By yourself. Isolated, separated. And God says, that's not how I created you. Amen. I'm landing right now, and I want to ask that, and I thank you for you guys and your patience. He's working on us, chipping away at the stony heart and the deceived heart, the frustrated heart. The more word that we get, the more we'll be able to obey, do what it is that he's called us to do. But every head bowed, every eye closed in this moment right now. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. And in all of that might, he looks and he sees you. He looks down, he sees me, he sees us. And he's passionate for us. And has compassion on our lost condition, even as his children. And he asks, don't you see? I've given you everything that you need. You don't have to remain unhappy. Because you see past happy and unhappy, you see I've given you joy. My joy, which is strength. My joy, which is an attitude of victory. You already won. And it's attached to, as we saw in 2 Corinthians 1:24, that we're here to encourage each other in this joy that we have, because really it's connected to our faith. I may not have it right now. It's not manifest right now, but I have it by faith. How do I know? Because I position myself to hear God's word. Faith comes by hearing God, your word. It comes and it comes and it comes. Lord, I've missed it with you, and I'm sorry. I've missed it with you on multiple levels. I realize that I've tried to control this situation. I got this, and I realize I don't got it. But I'm asking you now, Lord, to forgive my heart. Things that displeased you. As you look down at me, you're not mad at me. In fact, you love me so much that you have opened this door to say, this is the way out. This is the way out. Don't worry about me changing the circumstance. It's already done. But I want to change you. Will you let me? So all over the building, if you would just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I missed it with God. And I'm asking right now, I ask him to forgive me of the things that have caused me to try to control. And I'm asking him to take control. If that's you, just raise your hand. I want to see your hand. Because I want you to know you're not alone. Ah, I see you. I see you. Keep your hand raised. I tried to control this thing. I tried to manage it. It just got out of control. And I need God. I need you, Lord. I see you, brother. I see you, sister. I see you, sister. I see you. I see you. Some of us, you can put your hands down. Real quick, the what now? What do I do now? What do I do now? The what now, quite simply, is this. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's a sin to take something from God that belongs to him. As we said earlier, you are to cast all your care on him. So I have a dare for you right now. I have a dare for you. I dare you to give it to God. I dare you to be bold enough to say, God, this is yours. I don't want it. I don't need it. But what I do want and what I do need in my life, I'm asking you to give it because I want to receive it. Because I want to use it. If that's you in this building, you raised your hand in regards to asking God to forgive you. I just want you to quickly just stand up. You don't have to come out your seat, but just stand up. We're going to do something here. All of you who raised your hand, just stand up. This is faith right now that's talking. Some of you don't move, don't distract. Pray right now. Because quiet as it's kept, for those of us that's sitting, we ain't got it all together. There's going to come a time for us to be standing. Now, what I want you to do real quick in this 30-second period, I want you to begin just quickly, just glance around you. Glance around you, those of you who are seeing. You see these people.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215. Or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.